All right, brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles back up to Revelation chapter 4. Thanking God again how we began last week in examining these various companies in heaven at the time of the trump, the first trump, the time, the trump of the beginning of the tribulation. And thanks be to God, we saw as we started into Revelation 4 last week that the first company that we see that had appeared is the 24 elders. And there was no doubt, and God clearly reveals in His Word, that those 24 elders are the Old Testament full overcomers. They receive a wondrous reward beyond anything I could ask or think, except for what the Spirit has revealed for us at this time. And that's where I'm going with this tonight, where the Lord has put upon my heart, is that even though their reward is wonderful, it cannot be compared with the reward that is offered right now to the bride of Christ, to us who live in this church age. Now, we examined last week in 1 Kings chapter 8, we saw how the priests and how wonderful and perfect the Word of God is. When you look at this Word, always remember this. This is what's going to endure forever. The exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness to us. It's going to be the Word. To think this will never be exhausted. What's in here? It's just beyond. And thanking God for that precious truth and what a satisfaction to our heart. But we saw that those priests in 1 Kings 8, they would bring in the ark into the holy place. They would bring the ark to the throne. They would bring the ark to the cherubim, as we saw. And that perfectly typed how the Old Testament full overcomers, in a sense, they escorted Christ. Yes, He's the first fruit. But they escorted Him right up into heaven, as it said in Matthew 27, many of the graves were opened. How wonderful. Little things, praise be to God, I pray, mean a lot. As we said last week in this Word, as you really allow the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you, it's how do I love thee, let me count the ways. It's the truth. That's not just some fairy tale, that's the truth. And then you think about the cloud that we rejoiced in 1 Thessalonians 4. And we'll be bouncing right back and forth to these things because that's how the Spirit does it. But the cloud, as we see, caught up together with them in that cloud. Those are the elders that escort, again, Jesus to capture His bride away. Just like it says of those priests as they took the ark and they brought it in under the wings of the cherubim. Praise God. It's all there, isn't it? But tonight, in this fourth chapter, we'll begin on the second company, the four living ones, the glorious bride, the Lamb's wife. And we'll go ahead and read from the first verse. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And again, that was after that trump, and that heaven's going to open up. And the first voice which I heard, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in spirit. And again, this is John. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. Remember that. Kind of let that be in your memory bank. God willing, I am confident we'll hit that again if Jesus tarry. There's some precious stuff in that. There's another one like him. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. Again, those are the thrones we talked about last week. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you again, there's a hint right in that. So put that in the memory bank of your heart because how incredible that is. But not tonight. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And here's where we're going to emphasize now coming through here. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts, and each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Amen. Now, we're going to get right with it. And you see how it's emphasized here very quickly, right on the mark. This is the only company, brothers and sisters, that is in the midst. And that in the midst means in the middle of the throne. It also means seated in it. And that is the perfect translation of it. And that is a place that the 24 elders, nor any other company, they do not take that place, nor will they ever take that place. That place is for Jesus Christ and his wife. And I'm so grateful to God as it goes on here. And we've hit this many times, and just going to highlight some things in here, and then I believe the Lord is going to just increase this tonight in some places for us. But you'll see here that it talks about the physical attributes of her, or these four living ones. And the main thing here that's brought out in great emphasis is the eyes, their vision. Brothers and sisters, it's absolutely complete. These ones see everything. By God's grace, when he said that the Holy Ghost, he'll guide you into all truth, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God, that you would be led and filled with all the perfect and complete will of God. That's not only possible, it's the very will of God. It's his purpose, it's his plan. It's his will that we would know the will of God. That all men would be saved and come to the full, the complete, the exact, the intimate knowledge of husband and wife of the truth. Now, we know in ourselves that could never be. We could never get to that place. We could never accomplish anything like that. But this is God's word, and his promises are yea and amen. And I'm, by God's grace, convinced I'm going to believe the Lord. Amen. That's why I want to hear this message. That's why I want to, by God's grace, you increase, Lord, and I must decrease. And praise be to God, you will bring that to pass in my life. Now, you see that these eyes, this vision, it's not just here and there. It's exact. It's before. It's behind. In verse 8, it says, eyes even within. We could go into how many lessons and messages on that alone. But it's all seen. See, all truth. These are the eyes that are enlightened with the understanding, praise God, of his glory. And as the word of God says, see, without that vision. And brothers and sisters, that's not just a vision in, like I say, what we see with our eyes or what we would see with our mind. This is passion. This is truly passion. This is something that is beyond something and really that's describable only by saying it's the grace of God and the work of the grace of God. It is beyond that love. I was thinking how, even in type, how David and Jonathan, the love that they had for one another surpassed that of a man and a woman. And what that was emphasizing there, again, was that spiritual love and how that's the greatest love that we know in this life is between a husband and a wife that God has naturally done. But God's love, you haven't seen anything yet. And this is what he's emphasizing here. And again, I do want to emphasize for those that might be listening in, just as with the 24 elders in Revelation 5:9, it goes on to tell us that these living creatures, yes, they are the ultimate rank, as we've already read, that is in that midst of the throne, seated together with him in the throne, that they are redeemed by the blood saints. That's exactly who they are, redeemed. Praise be to God. And again, as we rejoiced last week in the name, and what was in that name of the 24 elders? 24, that priestly order, we went through it there in Leviticus. It was so wonderful. God so sweetly gives us a double portion of that sufficient witness. Not only the number 24, but then the word elders. We know that those are the Old Testament overcomers. We absolutely have confidence in the Word of God that we're not trying to prove anything. God's just revealing, and we're thankful that we can stand on His promises. But in the name of the four living ones, how perfect again. The number four, human weakness. And how wonderful that is. See, these are the ones that truly are completely dependent only upon Him. That's it. By grace and grace alone. You started that way. Every Christian starts in grace. Praise the Lord. But you didn't make it vain upon your life. You took it by His grace. And more grace. And grace for grace. And praise God, you finally realize, as we even started, Lord, You must increase and I must decrease. If that gain is going to happen in my life, I know it can be nothing of me. As Brother Paul said, that I would only be found in His righteousness. And how wonderful and true that is that this is the workmanship of Christ alone. And how great we, grateful and thankful we are for that. But you think about how opposite this is of man's thinking. See, man thinks that it should be the strongest or the best looking or the exalted one. I mean, even when Israel was picking their first king, let's get the tallest guy. You know, let's get the biggest one, you know, or whatever it was, or the most handsome and all of that. And, you know, God's choice is, He was shown, He took the little runt. That was David, the less of the least again. And God was going to show you, that's my man. That's just the one I'm looking for, the one you passed by, the one you never thought. That's my guy. And thank the Lord for Gideons and ones that are like that, that know that it's only going to be His strength, that it's the most precious place to be, grace and grace alone. No strength of myself, it's all Him. So that's just in the number four. And that's just, again, just something we see. And what's to be revealed? Oh, my goodness. And then, now let's go to beasts. And I thank the Lord that we know that the more appropriate meaning of this is living ones. And I'm thankful to the God, to God for this. And how fitting. If you look at that word in the Greek, the word, the beast there, it comes from the same root word. If you go over to 1 Thessalonians 4, they which are alive. It's so wonderful. And they're the alive ones. They're the ones that are, there's an abundance of, as we said earlier, this passion. It was typed in David as he said, my heart pants after the Lord. He was delirious for that, not just the fellowship, but for His face. He wanted to see Him. He wanted to be with Him in that most intimate that he could know of fellowship. And thanks be to God for that encouragement from those, the faith of our fathers. How wonderful that is. But now I want to just quickly address that it's not only, again, where they're seated. It's not only in the name. I mean, how much evidence God gives to us in this. It's the transformation of these ones, the detailed descriptions of these ones, their testimony, their evidence. And I will tell you this, as we go on and we look at all of these different companies in heaven, there is none that even remotely compare to how much time and description is in the four living one company. And it's so wonderful how God does that. There is attention given to them because the woman is the glory of man. And she is going to be magnified in that regard. That's His glory. She descends from heaven having the glory of God. And not to be ashamed of it and to be thankful and to not even let our dirty self-righteousness say, oh, how could you even say something like that, that the Lord is going to magnify you like that. Well, He tells me He wants to. That's His business. Amen. And I thank God that I want to be what He wants me to be. I don't want to hesitate at it. See, that hesitation is my lack of faith. That hesitation is something in my flesh that's holding back and withdrawing from what He in His work of grace alone wants to do in our lives. So I thank God for this. But see, the detail, what they look like and what they do in heaven, their testimony really is from glory to glory. And what happens when we move from glory to glory? We wind up where? In His image, don't we? Well, who would have thunk? Let's go real quick and rejoice in the image of these. The first beast was like a lion. Now, I know this is review for many, but that lion, again, speaks of the king. That speaks of Matthew. It's the description of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King. I thank God for the deity of Christ. Hallelujah. He was always very God of very God. And there in those four living ones, we see the King type in them. Then the next is the calf. How precious that is. That's the servant. We see that obviously in Mark, again, in the four Gospels. So we have the depiction of the king, we have the depiction of them in the calf, the servant, the lowly ones. How wonderful that is. And then the third beast had a face of, as of a man. Jesus the man is depicted in Luke. How wonderful. Yes, I am so thankful to God. Very man of very man. He became, praise the Lord, a man. He knows us, and praise God, he suffered, and yet always perfect. How precious. Thanks be to God. But boy, does he know us in being a man. And then the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And that is there in the book of John, the full overcoming Christ. And thanks be to God for that. So we see in this company of these four living ones is the fullness of Christ. That's their testimony. I thank God they have decreased. There is a life that is so transparent. As I always think about brother coming in here one of those first times, is Brother Mark was learning the different ones' names in the church and seemed to get a little bit overwhelming with all the people. And so there was one special lady that was over here, and he said, man, she's just like Jesus, so we'll just call her Jesus Lady. And that's the truth. And that's all I want, by God's grace, people to see. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? And that is not just to try to be humble, because if you tried to be humble, you missed it. It's just what it is, and how beautiful he is, and how privileged we are to magnify him. But I think how incredible. They are only like him. And the reason they're like him is because they only fed on him. They fed on the truth and love. They've grown up into him in all things. They're so like him that even John, who was the one that set his head upon Jesus' breast, he knew Jesus. He was the disciple who Jesus loved. And here is this one showing John all through heaven, and two times he bows down to that one, showing him around in heaven, and starts to worship him. Isn't that amazing? Just a little bit Christ-like. See, the little things are huge things. Again, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Now, Revelation 3 reveals even more evidence as who this company is, brothers and sisters. And again, I don't want to do an exhaustive study on it, but we must remember that in this fourth chapter, the Lord's day has begun. That first trump, at that first trump sound, the bride is caught away. That is the beginning of the Lord's day. That tribulation has become. And right now, as we're studying, there are two companies at this time, at the beginning of the tribulation, right as it starts, that are in heaven at this time, the 24 elders and the four living ones. Now, the reason I mention this third chapter here of Revelation is the Philadelphia church. And the Philadelphia church, brothers and sisters, is the only one of the seven churches that lives up unto the coming of the Lord and is spared from going into the tribulation. And that's why this fits so perfectly with when the trump sounds and John sees his first vision. We see that the 24 elders are there because those are the graves of many saints that were opened at that time and arose in Matthew 27. And then now we have the four living ones that, praise be to God, are the ones from 1 Thessalonians 4 at that first trump, the ones that were dead in Christ again, the full overcomers, the ones that had died, praise be to God, like a Paul and a Silas. And I know the evidence is there in these, but I am not saying anybody's attained. That is for the Father to give. Amen. But I thank the Lord for evidence. I thank the Lord that, you know, as Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. And I believe by God's grace, we can get a sense of those that truly followed Paul as he followed Christ and are ready to be offered. And those are precious sermons to give for those saints in memorial services. Praise be to God. And aren't we blessed to be in so many of those? But the Lord, as I told him here with Brother Spank, Lord, that sorrow upon sorrow, if you spare us from it and take us home, I'm all in. Praise God. So let's be mindful of that. Amen. But it's the only one that is of the churches, again, that is lives up unto the time of the coming of the Lord, that is spared from going into the tribulation. And brothers and sisters, we're on the threshold of it right now. So let's just go over to Revelation 3, and we do have time tonight, and let's read from verse 7. So we just get again that wonderful, it's just like flavor. It's like just feasting on all of these different tastes, isn't it? It's like, okay, here's your course meal for you, honeys, and let's just keep feeding along. Praise God, it's sweet. But I will tell you, it's going to be sweet, but it'll be bitter in your stomach if you let it. Praise the Lord. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. See, the Lord can open up heaven anytime he wants. He did it for Enoch. He did it, praise God, for Elijah, didn't he? He did it, praise God, as he did when he led captivity captive. Nothing's hard for God. And he opens that door as this first trump sounds, as we read there in Revelation 4. He opened it up. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. And what an open door we have. Praise the Lord. It's right there and open and ready. And no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. And I appreciate how Brother Michael Cole brought that out the other night. How sweet that is. That little strength means small in numbers. It means a little group. Little rib portion. Praise the Lord. And hast kept my word. And has not denied my name. Well, I'll tell you, that sounds like a real faithful wife to me. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Let me tell you something. When the Lord says something like that, I pray your ears perk up. Amen. I pray you say, thank you, Jesus. I want that. Hallelujah. Because it magnifies you. I know that I don't deserve any of that. But praise God that there's a place that's going to be offered to accompany. Praise God that is going to be glorified together with him. Listen to this. This is wonderful stuff. And brothers and sisters, if we are not bold to take what God is giving us right now, if we're hesitant with this, we will not win him. This is the Father that is seeking the true worshiper who worships him in spirit and in truth. And I have two sons. I have one that's here tonight, and I don't want to embarrass him, but they're getting older, and I think about wives and things of that, if the Lord would tarry, and I know God's faithful. But I want them to marry right. Now, it's not that I'm picking, but my goodness, there's qualities. There's qualities. Boy, God's quality. Grace. And grace alone.
Amen.
Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. But this is something here. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. See, it wasn't because you did this and you did that and you gave this and you knew that and you did all. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Honey, you love my word. You grew in it. You know the love of Christ. You know I've offered this to you, and the only way you know it is Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, by my Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Had that precious discussion with Brother Spank. He's just kind of being allowed to be tempted there a little bit about things. Oh, and this and that, and how precious, how God just settled it right then and really just spoke the word. How would you ever know those things?
That's it.
You smarter than God? You figured out how to get around the Holy Ghost to know those things and to be able to rejoice in those things and those things to become apparent to you? Or is it, he's with you and shall be in you, and he will guide you. He will lead you into all truth. Amen? That's who it is. So, see, we know that. So praise God that that's done. But it says here, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. And that hour of temptation is the tribulation. The whole 7 years, I'll keep you from it. You won't go into that.
Hallelujah.
This is, praise God, I am going to spare my wife from that horror. And I'm going to take my wife, and she's going to rule and reign and bring out judgment with me.
Right.
And you're going to see that by God's grace, if he tarry, and we'll point out some of these things that are so wonderful about the seals and the judgments that are coming out. And praise God how they direct it. I don't know anything that I'm doing anyways, but see, he knows it all. I tell you, see, he's getting me ready for it. If I'll just believe him, it's just like preaching. It's like coming up and giving a Bible study. You do. You study by God's grace, but this is his. And we rely upon him, and he'll bring it out what he wants. And it will be perfect because it's God. So we'll trust him. Now, and that temptation, that tribulation time, it'll come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Again, you've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Enjoy it.
Amen.
Rejoice in it. Hold it fast. Grow up in it. It's the wedding ring, isn't it? Amen? Enjoy that engagement. Praise God. It's yours. It's mine. We have this promise. He that is faithful and true, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God. Remember that go no more out, by the way, because we're going to touch on that in just a minute. Hearing a lot of things tonight, I know. But you know what? His learning curve's like this. His retention capacity's like this. So remember that. This is, let this mind be in you. If you're relying on your mind tonight, forget it. You've already missed it. Let this mind. Amen. Amen. All right? And it'll be there. But remember that. That go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. You'll go over to Revelation 21:2, and you'll see there that the New Jerusalem is the bride adorned coming out of heaven. Praise the Lord. So there's no mystery of, well, who is and what is this New Jerusalem? Just read through Revelation, you find out, you know. And thanks be to God. But again, that's Revelation 21:2. And I will write upon him my new name. And you'll read that in Revelation 21:9-10. That's the bride, the Lamb's wife, and bridegroom. Hallelujah. He that hath an ear, here it is, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So it's all there for us, brothers and sisters. And how glorious this is. But now tonight, we're going to dwell for the remainder. And I believe this will be something special to us tonight in Exodus chapter 25. So let's go on over there tonight, and we'll hit it in the 8th verse. And I'm confident if the Lord tarry, I don't know how much more time, but he seems to be enjoying this, and we're enjoying it with him. That we'll spend some time on the four living ones, the lightnings and thunderings, the Sardis. I'll tell you what, sometimes I think, Lord, is you really, you know, the Holy Spirit hits you, it's almost you can't contain it in these mortal bodies. And I just tell him a big hallelujah from there. But let's go ahead and read 25:8-15. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof. Even so, so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay with pure gold, within and without thou shalt overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, and the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. Going back to and go out no more. Okay. Praise God. Now, the first thing I want to note here, and it was so wonderful, and this was really Wednesday night after Bible study. Actually, it was Thursday morning, probably about 3, and the Lord woke me up out of sleep. And he said, you know, son, that ark is mentioned numerous times in the Old Testament, numerous times. And really, it was so almost audible to me as the Lord was speaking. And I didn't know if I was dreaming or if I was kind of up or what it was, but it was precious. He was saying to me, you know, that ark was carried into battle. That ark was carried over Jordan. That ark was carried all around. but it always mentions only the ark. But when the ark, praise God, is mentioned with the cherubim, when the cherubim is spoken of, when the it's described, is only when the ark is sitting in the Holy of Holies. Now, why is that important? He said, well, honey, they couldn't see it because they couldn't go in. They couldn't see that description in the Holy of Holies that I was talking about. They couldn't understand it. But once the veil was rent in twain, it's for us. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I just thrilled. I said, thank you, Jesus. Even in that, the cherubim truly, when it's talking about the cherubim with the ark, in its detail, in its beauty, is mentioned only when the ark is in the Holy of Holies. When it's outside of the Holy of Holies, the cherubim's not mentioned anymore. The ark is. The ark goes before him in war. The ark goes in the Jordan. But once that ark hits the Holy of Holies, it's cherubim time. It's only seen in the Holy of Holies. I rejoiced in that, and I said, thank you, Lord. But you see, that's what this is, brothers and sisters. This is given and revealed to us in its heights. You know, Daniel wanted to look into that stuff, didn't he? But God shut it up, and he said, no, that's Holy of Holies, Daniel. That's for a company. Praise be to God. And thank the Lord for what he's given us. What a privilege. Now, as we begin in this study, I want you to notice a few things here. The pattern, that word, the pattern, up there in the 9th verse. And it's the pattern of the tabernacle. And one of the definitions of the tabernacle is the throne. This is the pattern of the throne. And then the pattern of the instruments or the vessels that are in that throne. And how perfectly all of them are woven together, how the jewels are set in their place. Go on over to Revelation 21, rejoice in it, because it's all there laid out as exactly in type of this tabernacle. Right. Now, I want you to note that first off, that ark is made of shittim wood. And the shittim wood was out of a tree that was a very blackish bark and very thorny. And what that would speak of was our precious Lord, the sufferings, the comeliness of our Lord. He became the worm upon the cross for us. And yet all the time, he's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that wonderful? So there's the gold that's round about and inside of that precious shittim wood. We see that this ark itself, in its example to us in this, is Christ himself, the presence of God. And how wonderful that is that we know that, again, you see the crown of gold that's round about, that's laid upon him. He is I am. And now it only gets more incredible, brothers and sisters. I tell you, it's just wonderful. And again, we're just seeing but a minuscule. And what's to be when we have a body like unto his own? Oh, my goodness. But you'll see here that the ark, starting in verse 10, is created first. The ark is made first. It's set there and it's done. But then in verse 13, the first thing after it is finished, the first thing after it is done, the first thing for it. Notice that word as it says there in verse 13. And thou, or is that, I might have got that wrong. Let's see here. And thou shalt cast, in 12, sorry. And thou shalt cast four rings of gold for it. That word for it is a wonderful word. It means bestowed. And I want you to know that that same word is said in Genesis 3:12. And how wonderful this is. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. This is again, Adam speaking of Eve. That word gavest is the same word, bestowed. This is the first thing that was bestowed to the ark, are these four rings. It was given as a wife is given to a husband. It's that same meaning here. Why would that meaning be for rings that are put on an ark? Well, once you start seeing the number four around that ark, your eyes and ears and heart better start to flutter. Because there's some meaning. And it's precious what this meaning is. But he bestowed it upon that ark. And now notice, going back there in verse 12. And thou shalt cast. That word cast means to pour out. To mold. Praise God. To establish. Isn't that what he's doing? Aren't we his workmanship? His hands all over us, praise God. His grace poured out, hallelujah, like him. So wonderful. And there's that word, that number four. Four rings. And those rings, that word in the Hebrew means ornaments, symbols of authority, and they are all gold. They are just like him. How wonderful. Okay? But I'm going to tell you something. It only gets better. So let's stay with it here. Now, they are put in the four corners. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it only is the Spirit sometimes when he starts whittling it down. It's so beautiful. But he puts these four rings in the four corners. And that word corner, it means a foot or a hoof that slides not. It's a hind's foot. Unmovable. Fixed. Just like the pillars of Philadelphia. He's so detailed. He's so intimate in what he wants. And now, two in a side. And let this just blow us away. That word side literally means rib. Right in the rib. Isn't that something? Put the ring in the rib. The four rings, just like on the cross, his rib was pierced, that side. And remember, Sister Yvonne was rejoicing and bringing that out and so sweetly talking about that pierced side. And that's exactly where these four golden rings are fixed. They, his rib, suffering company with him. And then now we go to verse 13, and can you imagine? There's even more there. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. Now, here we go. Christ not only typed in the ark, but once again the shittim wood that's overlaid with gold in the staves. And the staves were basically these poles where they would bear upon the shoulders of the priests and carry around the ark. And you notice that where the staves went, they pierced the rings. They pierced him. He pierces us, doesn't he? They enter into the joint sufferings together with him. There's a oneness made when that's pierced. A husband and wife. And praise be to God, as it says in verse 15, and they shall not be taken from it. What God has joined, let no man put asunder. It's just so wonderful. You think about in ages past and how perfect the Word was with God. The Word was God. This is what it was. This is what it is. This is what He wants. It's marvelous, isn't it? I just can't imagine. But yet, as we were rejoicing about, more than the sands of the sea and the stars in heavens are His thoughts towards us. Amazing stuff, brothers and sisters. But this is the suffering together with Jesus Christ. This is the suffering for His sake. This is the suffering together with Him in reigning. But we must know it, and know it very well, that if by grace we're really willing to go that way, to enter into that throne glory, and let me tell you something, the only way you'll enter into that is gladly, thankfully, joyfully, gloriously, hallelujah, then you'll suffer together with Jesus. You go in there hesitant, that ain't going to happen. You go in there thinking, oh, I'm able and worthy of this. Peter thought he was going to go that way, and you know what happened there. But this is something where you just take the grace of God and say, oh, my goodness, Lord, I'm so unworthy. But thanks be to God, you made me worthy. Thanks be to God, you gave me a vision for this. Thanks be to God, hallelujah. It's just like those rings, Lord. I'm molded. I'm poured out. Praise God. You've made me one, hallelujah, with you, and you're going to do it. But as we close it up here, that the ark may be born with them. And this is really, to me, maybe the height of the whole thing. What a vessel He hath made her. Again, poured her out. He shaped her into a vessel, adding to the usefulness of the husband. Think of that. He shaped her. He molded her. He poured her out. He made her that ring. Hallelujah. That word born means caused to be lifted up, exalted. Yes, the priests lifted the ark up upon their shoulders, but only the rings are part of the ark.
Right.
Yeah, they are. They're part of the ark. Oh, yes, they are. Amen. They're molded in. They're jointly reigning and glorified together with Him. Yes, it's all of Him. It's all Him, and He's all of it. But without her, can you imagine, without those rings, He could not be exalted to the heights. He must have His wife to take His throne. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Without them rings, He could never be exalted. He can't be. Isn't He wonderful? Oh, He's wonderful. And the meaning is even greater. It really is in that word born. It means to support. There's your pillars again.
Hallelujah.
It means to bear it continually. There's the faithfulness. Thou, that faithful, praise God, kept the faith, just like Brother Paul. Hast not denied my name. That word mourn means to endure.
Hallelujah.
That's fighting the good fight, huh? And then finally, it means to rise up. An exalted crown of righteousness.
Glory to God.
I think we're going to stop there tonight. I think maybe any more and I'd explode too. So, but praise God. We see that these four living ones, a little bit more patterned here in the ark, in the Holy of Holies and in the cherubim. And, you know, God willing, we'll go into more of the hidden things that His love has revealed to us now. And it's revealed only by His Spirit, and it's only revealed in Paul's gospel, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? See, we would never be able to see these things without Paul's gospel. That was the one who brought the light upon light. And again, this wonderful bridal message. And again, as he said to me, just sit down, honey. How do I love thee? Let me show you and count the ways. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise the Lord.